A Streetcar Named Desire may be Tennessee Williams' most produced work, but a new multiracial production starring Blair Underwood as Stanley, Daphne Rubin Vega as Stella, and Nicole Ari Parker as Blanche sheds a whole new light on the play, which is currently at the Broadhurst Theater on Broadway. I am very pleased to welcome the play's director, Emily Mann, along with stars Daphne Rubin Vega and Nicole Ari Parker, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Daphne, you originated the role of Mimi in Rent. You've been nominated for 2 Tonys. You've appeared in many Broadway and off-Broadway productions. But had you ever imagined that you would be cast in this play?
I hadn't imagined it, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's often said that of all Williams' plays, this one provides the meatiest roles for actors. Is Stella someone you would have always wanted to play?
Absolutely. Tennessee Williams, any character in Tennessee Williams is wonderful to play. Just to dive in as an actor and tell the truth that's written on the page is an incredible delight every single solitary night. And what I mean by saying that it's something that I didn't imagine doing, it's to be an African-American cast doing this particular play that deals with Southern gentility and aristocracy, and thinking of it as something quite legitimate and palpable on this stage is a great feeling.
Nicole, isn't this your Broadway debut?
Yes, it is.
So is it a bit scary to begin by tackling the role of Blanche DuBois in your first Broadway role?
Well, it's something I've always wanted to do, so I just jumped in full force and gave it my all, continue to give it my all. So, you know, Tennessee Williams is so rich, the material, that every night there's something new to discover. And
especially in Blanche.
Especially in Blanche,
because she's so complicated.
Yes.
But you're joining an incredible list of heavyweight actors who played this role: Jessica Tandy, Vivian Leigh, Uta Hagen, Blythe Danner, Jessica Lange, Natasha Richardson,
Kate
Blanchett.
I read somewhere that I was the 9th Blanche on Broadway in 65 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's been revived that many times.
On Broadway. Of course, it's done all over the country and off-Broadway and colleges.
Emily, can you talk about how this production came about and how you came to direct it?
Sure. I have always wanted to direct this play, and I knew Tennessee Williams in the last years of his life, and we talked about the play. I didn't feel ready to do it until a few years ago, but I always thought that if I did do it, I would like to do it with a multicultural cast, that I would like there's the historian, American historian's daughter in me, that I thought it would be incredible to set it in New Orleans with the DuBois sisters being descendants of the free people of color, fair-skinned, very genteel, brought up with the cotillions and the balls and all of that, with a Stanley who could or could not be darker skinned, but certainly did not have their education, did not have their class, and they, you know, the boy that you didn't take home to your family to Belle Reve, and to have then the rest of the community, which is, you know, a gumbo of not just races but cultures all around with the street life. And so when Stephen Bird and Aaliyah Jones announced that they were going to do A Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway, I went to them not realizing that they were African-American and that they'd done the Black Hat on Broadway. And I Googled them quickly on the train in and went, oh, my goodness. So when I went in to pitch this idea, they looked at me and said, well, that's exactly what we're thinking.
Well,
and that's how it happened.
A few seasons back, there was an all-Black production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Which they had produced.
With an incredible, and they're the ones who produced it. But but Stephen Bird has said that Williams wanted to do Streetcar with Sidney Poitier as Stanley.
I've heard that. I know that he wanted to do, in the 50s, an African-American cast. And then that production sort of fell apart.
Had you spoken to Williams about that when you
I had not spoken to Williams about doing it with a cast of color, but I had talked to him about the balance of the play and also what the original cast had brought to it, which he said, actually, as brilliant as they were, put the play out of whack, and that it's Blanche's play.
Well, some reviewers have pointed out that the French Quarter, the neighborhood in New Orleans portrayed in the play, was actually racially mixed in 1947 at the time that Williams was writing about it. So this production could be as true to life as all white productions, can't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's the first stage direction in the play. There, a black woman and a white woman are sitting on the stoop talking, and this is where the races intermingle freely in the French Quarter.
But you've changed the year from 1947, when it was originally set, to 1952. Why?
Well, they were vets together, Mitch and Stanley. Thanks. And because we're a slightly older cast, I thought, you know, just upping it 5 years would do two things. One, make it absolutely understandable they were young men together in World War II, but also it gave the clothes a different silhouette than you're used to. And I liked that idea.
Well, the set is fabulous here. A whole new approach to the set. And you have a New Orleans native composing the music.
Terrence Blanchard, the great Terrence, yes.
Now, the original Broadway production, directed by Ilya Kazan, starring Marlon Brando as Stanley, Jessica Tandy as Blanche, Kim Hunter as Stella, that was made into a film with a change, Vivian Leigh as Blanche. Nicole, did you look at that film?
Well, I've seen that film many times before I even... You have to understand, the idea of playing Blanche was always in my heart. The possibility of it was non-existent in my head. So I've done the play in acting class. I've studied the scenes. I've seen the movie. And... But here I am now doing the play, and what's the most shocking thing is that everyone thinks that the 1951 film kind of is the template of the story, when actually it was very censored and very sanitized. So when they come to the theater now, they're almost shocked by all the new information. And it's just because...
Which is in the original play.
Which is in the original play, not the film. So here we have this, you know, this kind of set in stone film that kind of defines how these performances are supposed to be, but we couldn't imitate that even if we wanted to.
But in a way, that frees you to create your own Blanche. Well, I mean, that's what actors do anyway, but still, it helps you even more.
Well,
Because you're saying lines that Vivian Leigh never said.
I'm saying lines that Vivian Leigh never said. And so, you know, I really didn't set out to create my own Blanche, really. I was so at the mercy of Tennessee Williams and Emily Mann. I kind of just gave myself to it, and my own Blanche kind of emerged, you know. But I didn't want to distort the material or change anything. I just wanted to do what was on the page and what Emily said she wanted to see.
and Daphne, had you? I'm assuming you also saw the film.
Yeah, I've seen the film. I certainly didn't use it as any kind of a reference point in terms of character.
Well, Kim Hunter was just brilliant.
I think so. I love Kim Hunter. I sort of identify her more with Planet of the Apes for some reason, and the Cherry Lane Theater, because that's where she lived. And absolutely no offense to Kim Hunter, but I've always felt that Stella was, you know, just, I didn't understand why Stella did the things she did. She does incredible. She's a fulcrum of this play in many ways, and. So it was a great experience to explore why she does what she does.
Well, do you think that the change in racial makeup of these characters automatically changes the dynamic between them?
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I mean, one of my favorite moments in rehearsal with Nicole was the realization that as a black woman and a woman of color, the reflex is to survive. You're knocked down, you get up, you go on, you go on, you go on. And it really is, you know, the meaning of the blues. And we have that, you know, very authentically on stage in the play. But so many, when you go from a white Blanche, there may be a kind of different culture or foundation coming up under the role. And I found that thrilling. So that when Blanche walks off in our production now, it's ambiguous. She's been brutalized, but is she going to make it?
Yeah, you get the feeling in this production that Blanche might is not as destroyed, might not be as destroyed as some of the other Blanches we've seen, simply because she's learned how to bounce back again and again in her life.
It's interesting that you say that, because sometimes in my Stella experience, exactly, Blanche survives and Stella is crushed. And sometimes it's the other way around. That's the beauty of theater, and it's sort of not predictable sometimes.
There's also the matter, as you mentioned earlier, Emily, of color, skin tone. People would understand right away that Stanley being darker skinned would suggest something in this relationship as well. But how did you get around the fact that, I mean, I understand Dubois for the sisters, but how did we get to Kowalski
for
Blair Underwood?
We didn't.
Just ignore it?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are black people with a last name that is Polish. There's a very his name is escaping me, but he's a president, a very fine president of a major university. He's a black man, African-American man, and his grandfather was Polish. But it didn't mean anything in terms of the intention of the writer. Tennessee put that in because it was about class. These upper-class women who were brought up to think that they, you know, really were the creme de la creme. When they brought home a Stanley Kowalski, that was not a boy you could bring home today.
Although you just call him Stanley in this
production. Well, yes, but what I'm saying is the reason why it's I know it's about class is this that Kowalski meant that to a Dubois sister.
Go ahead.
And this, which is the same thing as the color tone and lack of education in Stanley.
With this play, there's always the question of whether Stanley or Blanche is the main focus. Was that something that you discussed in rehearsals?
Yes. Well, I did with Blair. He agreed that it was Blanche's play, which is quite right. And when I did know Tennessee, that was something that he said to me. And so I knew that that was the goal.
And a lot of times you hear how he was disappointed. And even in interviews, I think Marlon Brando has talked about the laughter at Blanche at her demise and the fighting and how they cheer for Stanley. And somehow in this rehearsal process, Emily really wanted the audience to kind of experience the mental and emotional decline as opposed to witness it. So the play is balanced, that it's not just you decide Blanche is crazy from the top and then you have no relationship to her. So by the time Stanley's raping her, you're on his side in a way. You're like, please put her out of her misery. But by opening the play up and giving every single person a beginning, a middle, and an end, you're taken on an experiential journey and your allegiances are conflicted sometimes.
Well, Blanche could be played as crazy, totally delusional, or somebody who's just had a rough time who sometimes...
Well, I think that you start off a little...
Uses fantasy to get herself through.
Well, I think that the way that I interpret it was more like I was already a sensitive creature from childhood. Stella talks about that. She was always flighty, or however you described her. But I think life can make a person submit to their already tendencies, sensitive tendencies or hysterical tendencies. And I think that she could only take so much until she started to unravel.
There's also alcohol. I mean, palpably, she's an alcoholic. And she's, you know, they call it neurasthenia, but, you know, whatever that is, it's this tremors. So there's that.
Now we should mention some of the other cast members who are also wonderful. Wood Harris plays Mitch, the great dancer Carmen de Lavalade, who's a neighbor and a Mexican flower seller. And, of course, we have the city of New Orleans, which is evoked in the set.
Absolutely.
Also, the costumes, the lighting, these are all things that you obviously thought a lot about
in evoking
the mood of this play.
And Terrence Blanchard. His music.
In the last few years, there have been a number of shows designed to appeal to black audiences. In addition to this, we've had Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Stick Fly, The Mountaintop, some others. Do you think that it's bringing more African Americans to Broadway?
Absolutely. And it's quite thrilling, I think, not only for the black audience that comes that seems to love it, but the white audience seeing the play in a different way because of how it's being witnessed. So, Tennessee always talked about how funny this play was, and so often you see it without a laugh, right? So the humor has come out, which is really thrilling.
We're pretty much out of time, but there are rumors about a London run. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible.
And meanwhile, at the Broadhurst Theater, now through, July 22nd?
22nd, mm-hmm.
You have an opportunity to see this fascinating production of A Streetcar Named Desire, perhaps the way Tennessee Williams actually imagined it would be performed.
That's so kind of you to say that. I believe he's very happy. The ghost of Tennessee is very happy.
And my great thanks to Daphne Rubin-Vega, Nicole Ari Parker, and Emily Mann for stopping by to talk about it.
Thank you
for having us.